Hello, my name is Martin and welcome back to another video. This here is Liverpool Road Station and it's the Manchester terminus of the Liverpool to Manchester Railway. But we're not concerned with this here in Manchester this week, we're going over to Liverpool. So join me as we head over to Liverpool to take a look at a wonderful cutting built by George Stephenson and his team. And it's so much more than what you initially see. So quite often the Liverpool to Manchester Railway is described as the first railway in the world. I've been reading this book by David Singleton, published in 1977. And I'm going to read you a quote and I'm going to let him explain why the Liverpool to Manchester Railway is the first railway. The Liverpool and Manchester Railway was the first fully fledged railway. There were many other firsts in railway history. The first wagonway was probably at Willerton near Nottingham in 1604. The first locomotive was the Treviac engine at Penydarren in 1804. The first passenger railway was the Oystermouth line between Swansea and Mumbles. The Stockton and Darlington is often claimed to be the first, but it was mainly a freight and not a full passenger line. Even in Lancashire there were railways before 1830. But they were either horse-drawn or for freight only. The Liverpool and Manchester was the first to incorporate everything. It was a public railway carrying both freight and people. It worked by locomotives and had been promoted by an Act of Parliament and was run on business principles. It was a proper railway. So in this video, we are in Liverpool at the Edgehill Engine Station, sometimes called the Cavendish Cutting. And we're just before the terminus, the Crown Street terminus, of the original Liverpool to Manchester Railway. We're going to discuss this area in the time period of 1830, when it had just opened and just been built by George Stephenson and his team. Now, before we get into the video, I want to demonstrate something. I want to demonstrate the topography in Liverpool. And I'm going to have to do it using this flood map. Basically, the purple areas and the blue areas are low ground and the yellows and greens are higher ground. The Liverpool to Manchester Railway comes into Liverpool this way through Olive Mount Cutting. And then we come towards Edge Hill and you'll see that we've got this escarpment of sandstone here that the railway had to make its way through. And Stephenson, what he had to do was he either had to create cuttings or he had to tunnel through this escarpment of sandstone here. So that's just to explain the terrain that we're going, the railway had to go through, and then it's all downhill towards the Mersey estuary here. And so you'll see it's no accident that Edge Hill Station is called Edge Hill for a reason. And the next clip will demonstrate just how deep some of those cuttings are. This following train is going towards Liverpool Lime Street Station. So we're heading up the cutting towards the Wapping Tunnel. And you'll have to forgive me if I get a little bit excited. In fact, I think I can see it up ahead. But everywhere you're looking here now, railway history, as you saw that gas lamp, that gas light sticking out the wall, absolutely amazing. Thank you. So those lines are still operational and still used for shunts sometimes. Now this is a permission visit, so we've got a Network Rail guide with us, and thank you very much to Network Rail for allowing us down here. Look at the layers there in that. Look at the layers in that rock.
We'll light that up after a show. Yeah.
Look at the layers in that.
That's quite cool.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So we're here in the Cavendish cutting, and just at the end there are the tunnels that we're going to eventually look at. But for me, this cutting alone is just amazing to be here. The fact that they had to hit this escarpment, so they came from Manchester, they came towards Liverpool, and they hit this sandstone escarpment, and they had to take the railway through at level, so they had to cut through the rock. And what do we reckon? Difficult to tell. I'm going to guess about 50 foot maybe. These recesses that are cut into the rock, we think, were for storage. There's some further down that actually had these static steam engines in them. So yeah, we think storage. And then look at this, I mean, just the detail everywhere. And then some sort of plates bin there. And look at this up here on the side. But like I said, I've been wanting to come here for about 5 years and take a look at this place, because when you look at the photos and how it used to be and you realise the significance of the place, it's just one hell of a place to come and visit. The Wapping Tunnel goes down at an incline towards the docks, and steam engines, mobile steam engines, Rocket, Novelty, Sanspareil, were all in their early stages, so they weren't that proficient at dragging, hauling loads up inclines, so this idea of the static steam engine was still very much in the head. So here they had static steam engines, and they hauled the trucks from the docks up by rope, initially by rope, a hemp rope, which later got turned into a steel rope. But that was the technology that they were using, and that was via the Wapping Tunnel. Eventually, as steam technology progressed, the locomotives were able to haul loads up the slight incline of the tunnel. But I'll show you some pictures of how this used to be. Now, I want to talk you through this wonderful drawing here. I've already mentioned to you the issue of the locomotives not being able to haul the trucks up from through the Wapping Tunnel. And also, George Stevenson was asked to create something decorative for this cutting to make it look good. And what he built was this thing here, which is wonderful, which is called the Moorish Arch. Moorish architecture, apparently, but this was the Moorish Arch. And what he did was, in here, he housed static steam engines to operate a rope haulage system. This thing, as beautiful as it was, actually created, as you can see, a bottleneck within the cutting. So it eventually got demolished. And it was demolished in the mid-1800s, around about 1860, I think. This drawing, by the way, is from opening day, September the 15th, 1830. And what's striking about it is obviously the pomp and the splendour, but look at the people just walking round on the track in the Sunday best and the frocks and everything. It was quite a thing, and the crowds along the top up there. Now, a couple of things that are relevant to our video. Obviously, the Moorish Arch is gone, but clock these stairs, and then just underneath the stairs here are some of those, the arches that I'm going to show you. And can I just add at this point that although this cutting now is very derelict and overgrown, to be able to stand down here and stand in this setting and know where you are in such a historic place I was actually blown away by the idea of where I am. And although I might not appear it all the time, I'm aware of these drawings and I'm aware of history, and I'm aware that I'm stood down here looking at these arches and these steps. The Moorish Arch, George Stevenson's adornment to this place, and just the love and the lavishness which they laid upon it. They knew they were creating something that was a pioneer of its time. Nothing like this had been done before. And there stood the Moorish Arch. This is almost a religious experience for me. 5 years ago when I wanted to originally come here and take a look down here, I thought you could still come and see the Moorish Arch. Unfortunately, I didn't realise it was demolished in 1860. But that archway there, it was possibly the back end of where one of the static steam engines was. Some more archways now down there, as you can see there. So we'll go and take a look at those. Okay, so on the subject of the inadequacy of the locomotives at the time, particularly in working on inclines, I'm going to read you a quote from the director's report, and it's round about early days of the railway, so I'm guessing 1830, 1831 this. And it reads like this: Mr. Walker has taken great pains to investigate this subject and has made several calculations to show how hopeless it is to expect locomotives to work on these planes. He states that the effect which an engine weighing with its tender only 10.5 tons is only able to just move its own weight up the hill at 10 miles per hour, and consequently an additional number of engines could do no good, as the weight of each would be its load. Adding, it would consequently be doing an injury to the locomotive system to apply it to this work, for which it is evidently unfit. So they're still having problems with the locos. The locos still can't work that gradient down in the Wapping Tunnel. See how far back it goes, and this would have housed one of the steam engines. Look at I imagine some sort of pipe going through there, and look at the arch there, and there's a hole up there in the roof. Look at that, my God, look at that. Would you look at that? So if you look at the back here, I want to show you something if I can. So there, that's going through to the next arch there. And then if you look there, there were flues.
These ones here, these round ones.
So this would have been a hive of activity in here. There would have been a huge static steam engine in here. And like I've just shown you back over there at the back, they cut flues through the rock up to two great big chimneys that stood at the back over here. I'll show you in a minute. Okay, so this is now looking the other way towards the tunnels, and eventually you will see these three tunnels here. But what I want you to draw your attention to is the cutting, obviously, and the arches, as I've said. And you can just see in this drawing, peeping there and peeping on that side, is these static steam engines that hauled the rope haulage system for the Wapping Tunnel, this one in the middle. So there's the static steam engines there, hidden away in the arches. There's our stairs. And the flues for these steam engines were cut through the rock into the rock, and I'm hoping to show you some. And they came up to these chimneys here on the top here. Now these chimneys have gone now, but they were absolute, again at the time, they were absolute splendid to look at, and they became known as the Pillars of Hercules. But the flues, like I say, were cut through the rock up to these chimneys here. We can't get up here because the base of this one is still around, but we can't get there because it's a schoolyard and we can't get in. So I'd like to, there's not a great deal to see, but I'd like to show you the base. But there you go, that's now looking the other way, and you will see we come to these tunnels. The two chimneys were about, I'm not sure if they were about 100 foot high. So one stood there, and there was one on the other side there. And I've probably showed you a picture so you can relate what you're seeing here with the tunnel in the background and the cutting with the chimneys that stood there. This is fascinating. Right, second arch, we're going to go and take a look in now. You see, that's the other side of the little passageway that goes into the other archway there. And then there's our flue. Yep. Cut into solid rock there. You can see the pick marks. Regular sign, something we see quite a lot, that, the regular pick marks. And then obviously there was some sort of rear tunnel that adjoined all these arches. Again, up there, you see up there. So I suppose these rooms really would have been boiler rooms. There would have been great big boilers in here, and that's definitely where a flue would have gone from the boiler up there and probably onwards, cut through the rock, like I say, over to the chimneys. Amazing, absolutely amazing to be here, telling you now. And we've not done the tunnels yet. So if you look at the steepness on that, people came down there. That's the staircase. And even up there, there's detail in there. Obviously all this had a purpose. Just take my torch down a bit. All this would have had a purpose. And it's difficult when you come back to work out exactly what that purpose was. If you go down here, I think this is that rear tunnel that joins all the... go up here. This is the tunnel that joins the back of all the arches. Again, pick marks there, you can see where it's been hewn out of the sandstone. And no doubt this housed some kind of huge steam engine, sort of machine type thing. And then another, whether that's a flue or not, not quite sure. Let's go and take a look at that.
It's hard to know exactly what all these rear tunnels were. This whole area was known as the engineer's station, so it's where they hitched up the carriages and wagons back up to locomotives onwards to Manchester. So a lot of storage, a lot of engineers working down here, offices.
You look at this here, right? There's an actual fireplace there, and its flue would be cut into the wall and would join the other flues from the other boilers. Or actually, I think it went on the outside, that flue. Yeah, I think it came out here. There used to be a little metal chimney type thing here.
There's so much going on here. I'd need to spend about 4 days here, to be honest with you. There's so much. If you look at the detail in the wall, the cuttings there in the wall, holes everywhere.
everything's had a purpose, everything's been there for a reason. You see how they cut the rooms actually into the rock.
Unfortunately, the graffiti artists have got here before us. Got quite a bit of roots coming through there.
So, three tunnels. Now, if I've done my homework correctly, this one here, this smaller tunnel, is the Crown Street Tunnel. This went through to Crown Street Station, the original terminus of the Manchester-Liverpool Railway. The middle tunnel there, the Wapping Tunnel, went down to the docks on a slight incline. Again, like I've said, steam engines at the time couldn't traverse up inclines and certainly couldn't pull loads, so they had a rope system to haul the trucks up on the far side there. That one there initially was just put there for symmetry, to make it look nice and symmetric with the three sort of like archways at the end of the cutting. It only went backwards about 15 feet. Eventually they decided what they'd do is they bored it out as a full tunnel, and it went to a goods yard at Crown Street. You'll see the slightly height raised lines there. Those lines go through a short tunnel there to what was the Crown Street goods yard.
Okay, so we were with Network Rail and we were discouraged from going near those lines because, despite the fact that they're not very often used, they are actually live lines. So here's some pictures to gain from elsewhere that show the approach, firstly the approach of the lines to the tunnel, and secondly that's a look down the tunnel. As you can see, this tunnel was eventually bored through in 1846, and you can see it's not a very long tunnel at all. And if you look at the early drawings from 1830, these early artist drawings, you can see the far left tunnel was just, it had doors on it. They've put sort of like wooden doors on it, and that's because, like I say, it just went back 15 feet and it was just for storage and only done for symmetry. It wasn't until later that they actually bored it out into a full-on tunnel. So now I'm going to show you where all these three tunnels go, starting with that first one there. We'll call it Crown Street Goods. Okay, so where does tunnel number one, which we've called Crown Street Goods, go to? This is Rail Map Online, a great resource. I urge you to check it out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to flick a button now and I'm going to show the historic railways, which is what you can do on Rail Map Online. That's our shunt. We're kind of here in the cutting, and that's our shunt. And you'll see it finishes at Crown Street Park. Let me just turn on the old historic railways. Right, there you go. I'm going to zoom in a bit there. All right. So our shunt goes down here and came into what is now Crown Street Park, which formerly was a little goods yard. So it comes down here and it ends up in here. And as you've seen, it's not a very long tunnel. I'm going to just flick to Google Earth and show you something. Here's Crown Street Park, and there's the head shunt that I've shown you, all right? And that's where it comes out. So it's a bit more in depth for you there. And what I'm going to do is, what we did is we went to Crown Street Park, we went down the embankment here, and I've got a shot looking over the fence at this head shunt now, which I'm going to show you. Okay, so the next tunnel we're going to look at where it goes, the Wapping Tunnel. Okay, middle tunnel, the Wapping Tunnel. Where did it go to? Here it is, runs down here and probably is the longest tunnel. And it basically goes all the way down here, underneath Liverpool, all the way down here to the docks down here. Splits into three here, which I can show you later, splits into three and came into some yards here right near the docks, Wapping Dock. There you go. So quite a long tunnel, and we'll be walking the whole length of that in this series of videos. Now, I've talked about a lot about this haulage system, this rope haulage system that brought wagons up from the docks into the engine cutting here at Edge Hill. That haulage system, I don't claim to know how it worked. However, there was a program made in 1986, an educational program for children, that was talking about this area, and they managed to get these shots of how the rope haulage system worked underneath the track. And I took two screenshots from that program, which is actually here on YouTube. And there you go. So it kind of operated underneath the tracks. Again, I can't explain it entirely, but that'll give you an insight into how this worked. And unfortunately now, since 1986, it's all been filled in. The place is overgrown and we don't get to see those little under track tunnels. And finally, on the far right, the Crown Street Tunnel. Commenced in 1826, it was completed in 1829, and this tunnel took the passenger services through from the cutting through to Crown Street Station. It's got a slight, from what I'm reading, it's got a slight incline on it, and so again, locomotives didn't work all the way through from the cutting to Crown Street Station. Carriages were hauled up into the station and then they ran by gravity with a brakeman back down into the Edge Hill engine cutting. Okay, so still on this subject of static steam engines versus mobile locomotives, they're still doing experiments even at this point. I'm going to read you this section now from the director's report. So this is they're working with novelty that had been in the Rainhill trials, and I'll just read it briefly. An experiment which has been made with the novelty, which since the competition, the Rainhill trials, has undergone considerable alteration. An additional cylinder expressly for working the bellows has been applied, and more effectual communication made between the horizontal boiler and the steam reservoir. The pipe which conveys the heated air from the furnace has also been lowered in order to prevent a recurrence of the accident which proved fatal to it during the trials. All these are decided improvements and have enabled the engine to work for a much longer time together than it was before capable of doing. So they're still working on these engines. They're still doing experiments with the initial steam engines from the Rainhill trials, trying to get them more efficient, trying to get them to haul these loads for longer distances and ideally up inclines. And eventually they will be successful. But I just thought that excerpt there sort of illustrates the ongoing experiments that they're doing to try and get these locomotives to do more work. Okay, so tunnel number 3, far right, the Crown Street Tunnel, is this top one here. Came along here and it ended roughly where the park is again, just here at Crown Street Station. Alright, now I'm going to show you on Google Earth where it comes out. Okay, so here we are on Google Earth, Crown Street Passenger Tunnel, far right. This seems to go this way, along here, just north of the park, and I think it comes out around about here, this area here, and then just beyond here is Crown Street. Just off the map there is Crown Street. So these are bridge parapets up here, and it's now the end of it is now landscaped into the park. So yeah, this park, as I say, was a goods yard, and then Crown Street was here, and the station seems to have been around about in this area here, end of tunnel around about here. This is an event for the Wapping Tunnel. The Wapping Tunnel is running this way now underneath here. And so this is an artist's impression of the 1830 Crown Street Station. the terminus of the Liverpool to Manchester Railway in Liverpool. And if you look in the distance, you can see the other end of the Crown Street Tunnel there. Okay, so what became of Crown Street Station? It only operated as a station until 1836, and it was overwhelmed by numbers. It could no longer cope with the success of the railway. And if you look at its location here, compared to where the city centre is, it was kind of on the edge of the city centre. Here's Lime Street, and it's much more in the city. If I move the map there, it's much more near the docks and everything. So what happened? And this is going to lead us on to the next part of this video. Crown Street closed as a station. And what they did was, if we go back to Edge Hill, there's our cutting. The line then was branched here at the current Edge Hill station. And a new cutting was dug along here into Lime Street, as you can see. Now, this initially from Edge Hill was operated again on an incline. It wasn't on a downwards incline towards Lime Street. So this idea of static steam engines or static engines to winch the coaches up and down from Lime Street to Edge Hill was still in place. So something fascinating happened. Where's our cutting? There it is. What they did was, the static steam engines here at the engine station, they piped steam over to Edge Hill here to operate the machines to hoist the passenger trains out of Lime Street. So they built a tunnel, a steam tunnel, and I'm not plotting it correctly, but the steam tunnel goes roughly this way over to Edge Hill, the current Edge Hill station, to power machines, to hoist the passenger carriages up from Lime Street. So at the beginning of this video, you saw a little tunnel with steps built into the rock. We're going to go back to that, and that is the steam tunnel. So here we are, our little tunnel again, complete with steps cut into the rock, and this will give us access to the steam tunnel.
Oh yeah, right, so it runs east to west basically. You've got that big torch?
Yeah.
We're coming up Martin actually.
Right, so we're in. Steam tunnel. Short archway access to it, and it runs that way.
East to west. Right, come round here now and I'll carry on lighting it.
Wow. Wow, that's incredible. So this carry pipes, like I say, to Edge Hill. I think Edge Hill station, which is not far.
And it's just down here, there was two engines. Yeah. Brought the steam through.
And again, for the winding mechanism for Lime Street this time. Obviously, normally, we'd be naughty and we'd go all the way down there, but we're guests today, so we've got to behave ourselves, and it's a bonus that we could show you the steam tunnel, so we have to see it like that, really. But yeah, sure. Obviously, as you know me, I'm itching to take this all the way. But that is absolutely incredible, and a bit of a bonus for us, that.
Okay, so getting out is all the matter now, isn't it? Now, isn't it?
Right. Here we go. Nettle City. It was very nice of them to put this stone ladder in, weren't it?
Yeah.
Nice gloves as well.
Yeah. Feel maybe he's coming out. Yeah. Right. There we go. Right,
do you want these?
So there you go. There was so much footage. I was going to actually do the cutting, and I was going to do the Wapping Tunnel as well in one video, but there's so much to see just in the cutting that I've made it into two videos. So that cutting was amazing, and I really felt like I was somewhere really special, to be honest with you, somewhere really special. When you're down there and you've seen all the drawings and everything, you just know that you're in a really special place. Anyway, in the next video, we'll be going down the Wapping Tunnel. So I hope you enjoyed that video.
Thanks very much for watching. Take care, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye for now.